Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, it's Follow-Up Friday, where we dig a little deeper into something that came up earlier in the week. And yesterday, in a conversation about the drug violence in Mexico, our guest, Vidi Rios, said this.
Every single time that you consume illegal drugs, you are consuming drugs that are tainted with the blood of Mexicans and with the blood of journalists and mayors and policemen that die in duty fighting against these cartels. So I think this is much more of a moral concern. It's not really about, I'm not going to consume drugs because drugs are bad for health. I mean, yes, they are, but also think about the consequences in terms of lives.
Vidi Rios from yesterday's program, journalist and Harvard doctoral student, writing about the Mexico drug wars. 35,000 people have died in drug-related violence in Mexico just since 2006. And a lot of the drugs at the heart of this drug war are consumed in the United States. So you can see where our guest's comment is coming from. So right now we want you to call in and tell us if you think about your own drug use in moral terms. We will not take your name and refer you to law enforcement. Do you take what Vidi Rios says to heart? When you smoke a joint on Saturday night, do you have any pangs of guilt? Does the drug violence in Mexico enter into your thoughts at all? No judgments here. We just want to hear about your own internal struggles or not. Maybe you don't think there's a reason to feel guilty. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and you can call us anonymously if you want. You can also call in to weigh in on if you think drug users are complicit in the Mexican drug war or not. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We have this question out on our Facebook page. Benji wrote, "The world is bigger than we are, but the things we do as individuals affect the whole. So should they be thinking about this?" He writes, "Yes, no, and yes." Mario writes, "I think about it and feel slightly guilty, but then again, I believe marijuana should be legal. But isn't the border war in Mexico really about the cocaine trade? Can we please stop lumping in God's leaf with cocaine and heroin?" Mario writes. So call us, post on our Facebook page, tweet at Brian Lehrer, or go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to get in on this. And when this came up yesterday, some of you on our comments page pointed out that in New York, people aren't smoking that, quote, as one person put it, bleeping brick weed from Mexico, unquote. So we thought we'd clear up that question. Where does New York City weed come from anyway? Is it even from Mexico, or is it mostly from California, New England, Canada? Have these domestic gourmet marijuana products gotten so good that Americans are buying American, not when it comes to oil, but when it comes to pot? And auto industry, listen up. To help us clear up this question of where New Yorkers' pot come from, we have the foremost expert in local weed, or so we are told, Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor at High Times Magazine. Danny, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me, Brian.
So do you think it's an outdated assumption that the weed in the United States comes from Mexico?
I do. Actually, more and more, the weed in the United States comes from the United States and is produced here, and that's really the highest quality as well. And so it's been a long time since Mexico really had a big share of the market in the U.S., especially in the Northeast.
Do you know any percentages?
I really don't know the percentages. I know that seizures have gone up at the border, but the fact of the matter is that a kilo of marijuana in Mexico is very cheap, and a kilo of cocaine is worth a lot more, and a kilo of heroin is worth even more than that. So I think as long as they're going through the effort of smuggling, they're much more likely to do it with those harder drugs like cocaine, methamphetamine, just because there's much more of a profit margin there.
Though we've certainly been told by several guests this year who cover the Mexico drug wars that a substantial part of the problem, and nobody seems to be able to put a percent on it, is marijuana, not even so much grown in Mexico, but that gets imported up from South America into the United States through Mexico, and there's this intense drug war near the U.S.-Mexico border to control that trade, along with the other drugs. Do you think that's not true?
I think it's becoming less and less true because basically the quality in the 80s and even maybe the early 90s, that may have been the case because, you know, at that point, homegrown American domestic marijuana was kind of a term of derision, homegrown at that point. But now the quality of American-made, American-grown cannabis is so much better that there's very little market, maybe in Arizona or Texas, but very little elsewhere in America for Mexican or Colombian marijuana. It's really, it's viewed as pretty much the lowest in quality and least desirable. So, and at the same time, I think, you know, it makes a great case for legalization because, to be honest, it really doesn't matter if it's marijuana, cocaine, heroin. If you make a product illegal, the prohibition of that product will bring, the black market to bear, and the demand will always create supply of anything. Like a good example is if cigarettes were suddenly illegal and Mexico was a tobacco-producing country, there would be murders and killings over tobacco down there. It really, I don't think, matters so much what the product is as much as the fact that it's prohibited and therefore illicit profits can be made.
Let's hear from a few of our callers. Joe in North Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to say that I'm not sure if it's fair to criticize the use of foreign Mexican illicit drugs if you're driving around in your SUV or using any product that we consume that is negatively affecting our world. You know, you have to consider all of the things you use. So it's a little hypocritical, I think, to criticize this despite the huge impact that it may be having. It is something to consider if you consider everything else you consume.
Is it necessarily the moral equivalent? I mean, that raises a couple of questions. One is, maybe you do what you can do. If you can't stop all the bad in the world, it doesn't mean you don't try to stop some of it that you can. But do you think it's the moral equivalent of importing oil, which is bad as that is, or using oil, which is bad as that is for the environment, et cetera, you know, is a legal product and isn't having these kinds of gang wars around it?
How about buying an engagement ring that's a big diamond from Africa? We don't exactly know where those are all coming.
That's a bad one. And, of course, I guess there are one or two shooting wars that we could think of that do take place over oil, even though it's legal. Sean in Bradley Beach, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, friend. The only thing that I have a problem with is I had a stepson who was in a drug treatment program. His big vice was actually alcohol, but a little marijuana. The thing that I got told when I tried to say that exactly what the lady who had written that article about how she felt, I got yelled at by the counselors. I was told not to come to the meetings anymore because I'm giving guilt trips to the kids who are trying to get well. But I think guilt should be part of what they're thinking because police in this country get killed trying to stop drugs. Little kids walking down the street in neighborhoods get shot when the gangs are fighting it out here. There has to be a ton of guilt involved with everything you do, including what your last caller said. But the one thing, you can't just go live in a cave, but you can. You don't need to have drug use. So you do need to drive your car. You do need to live in a home. Mm-hmm. But you don't need drug use. So like you said, let's mitigate at least the one thing we can control. And guilt for what our participation is in this has to be part of the treatment program for these kids that are using it in a vacuum, thinking, well, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody but myself.
Mm-hmm. Sean, did the counselor who was leading the group that your stepson was in say that bringing up the guilt trip actually made it harder for them to go clean?
Yeah, that was the first part of it. And the second part of it was, and that's not true is what they said. That's not true. They're not causing crime. They're not causing these problems. They're kids and they have a disease and you wouldn't yell at a cancer patient, would you? And I said, you know what, a cancer patient gets cancer, a child or a teenager or a young adult chooses to use drugs for the first time and then go to the harder drugs and then become addicted and all that stuff.
Sure.
And I feel that the consequences of anything we do, everything we do, just need to be looked at a little more closely. Think about the little kid who's out there playing on the playground when two gangs who are trying to control an area of drug sales shoot it out, and that poor innocent kid takes one right in the head.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. By the way, speaking of doing time for a very different kind of bad thing, we are just getting word that former New York State Comptroller Alan Hevesy has been sentenced to prison in the pension fund pay-to-play scandal. New York One is reporting that he's getting 1 to 4 years, but Alan Hevesy, it looks like, is going to go behind bars. We're talking right now about marijuana and where marijuana comes from in New York and whether it's morally questionable to smoke pot because of the drug wars in Mexico, with our guest Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor for High Times magazine. So we've heard from a few callers, and Danny, we've just got a couple of minutes left. I want to follow up on something you said before. Desirable product. You said domestically grown pot is now number one. Canadian pot is number two, short growing season up there, and Mexican weed is only number three. Why has domestic and why has Canadian product gotten so good?
Well, you know, there's been advancements made in the growing technology as well as the genetics, and a lot of it also has to do with the way it's stored or smuggled. The Mexican stuff is dried in the sun, and it's pressed into bricks when it's still, you know, not quite dry, and then transported over a long period of time and a long road. And so basically by the time it reaches the consumer, it's lost a lot of its initial qualities it may have had when it was still being grown in Mexico. And
the Canadian pot, is that indoor? And I've read a lot of upstate New York pot is actually a source now. And a lot of this is the indoor hydroponic growth technique. I saw a study that came out this week that indoor marijuana growers use 1% of the nation's electricity. One out of every 100 kilowatts used by a marijuana grower, that's enough to power 2 million homes. Do you know that stat? And maybe that's a different moral issue here with pot, the carbon footprint.
You know, I did see that in the Huffington Post. And basically, once again, that just makes the argument to me that it needs to be the marijuana prohibition needs to end, because it's a plant that grows. It doesn't need to be grown indoors. It can be grown in greenhouses. It can be grown outdoors. And they're having huge success with that now in Northern California, growing these massive plants, just using the sun with no electricity at all. So I think we could very easily lower that carbon footprint just by legalizing marijuana and allowing it to be grown outdoors and in greenhouses, because that's really ultimately where it wants to be grown to begin with. It's not an indoor plant.
All right. A follow-up Friday segment on where marijuana smoked in the New York area comes from with Danny Danko from High Times. And we're playing you guys in softball this summer, so worst of luck on the field.
We'll see you out on the field.
Thanks a lot for coming up. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will play clips from a new movie about the Afghanistan war and a controversial incident that took place there. Stay with us.